This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
All right, Pat, we're trying to, I mean, the Twins lost last night, and I don't know what the, like the, so the Giants run an opener out, and then they bring Sean Manaea in, who's a lefty, and Manaea's been awful this year, by the way.
Yes,
he's a decent starting pitcher. He's been awful. He, of course, he looked like Sandy Koufax against the Twins last
night. They gave him $33 million or something for 2 years, and he's been terrible. So yeah. You're right.
And I get that the batters, the Twins, subbed in after, oh, my God, there's a lefty coming in and we need to remove half our line. I get that those guys reached base like four times. But what mental gymnastics do you have to do as an organization to pull Alex Kirilloff after one at bat because of a platoon changeup in the third inning?
And you knew that was happening. You knew the guy was an opener, right?
Yes, although I saw The Athletic reported that, well, the Twins saw Manaea throwing a 30-pitch bullpen session like 3 hours before the game, and they ruled him out because they saw him throwing a bullpen session.
Oh,
they were caught off guard.
They were caught off guard. So, still let Kirilloff hit. Who cares? You know, he's got a chance to get a hit off a left-hander. What do you want to take him out in the second inning for? It was panic because Olbert given up four in the first, I suppose. He thought we have to get out of him quick here and get back in the game. But, you know, let Manaea come in and walk somebody. And, you know, he's been all over the ballpark. He is, you know, yesterday he was, I don't think he walked anybody yesterday, but he's been brutal. And, you know, this, Judd and I were talking about this yesterday. We've been beating up the bullpen, but the big problem continues to be they're not scoring any runs. You know, they don't get any hits. And, it was stupid, though, to start changing. You know, let's make sure we get Willie Castro four at bats, too, right? But he took three third strikes and then swung at the other one. He was, Willie, they're not treating me fairly. A man with my reputation, how can they be calling these marginal strikes on me and calling me out? It was a pathetic performance. But you're right. I don't know what Rocco was up to yesterday. That was a definite panic because they were down 4-0 right off the bat. So I think. What else? They hit for Kirilloff and they hit for else right off?
Julian.
Julian.
Julian never got an at-bat. He didn't get an at-bat. What was that?
So you're caught so off guard. Now you've burned two players in the second inning. Right?
And Julian's probably got the best chance to get a walk of anybody. He walks like twice a game when he was playing in St. Paul. He's got a 400 and something on base. Let Manaea walk him, for God's sakes. I don't know what he was doing. I think maybe he got back from L.A. late and the baby left him, woke him, kept him awake all night crying. And, you know, maybe he just didn't get any sleep and he was not at the top of his game. And he was not having clear, cogent thoughts. I don't know what it was, but it was stupid.
Rocco, also, there's a report from Ken Rosenthal that we don't know exactly what the terms of his contract are or maybe when it happened, but. It's now been reported he is extended through 2025. Now, I'm not even really – I'm not an anti-Rocco guy.
No, I'm not.
I think Judd's an anti-Rocco guy.
No,
you're
I'm not
anti-Rocco.
Really anti. No, I get frustrated at times with him. I get frustrated with him.
Yeah, last night – I don't think it's a big – so he got what, a one-year extension basically or something?
But do we really need to rush? So the Twins are 20 games under 500 the last 3 years. The 2 years before that, they had really good ball clubs, couldn't win a playoff game. I'm not saying he needs to be fired immediately, but
no.
Do we need to make sure we rush to the to the lawyers to make sure he's locked up through 2025.
This isn't like college football where we got to. So the recruits want to know this. The recruits want to know he's going to be. We got to have PJ here for 7 years because now, in case we have COVID again, we might have extra years for these guys. So they have to know the coach is going to be here for 7 years. Otherwise, they won't sign here. So. This isn't exactly that situation. I'm sure that, who knows what happens? Why do they do this? Why do any teams, pro teams, do this? I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
To be clear, I am not anti-Rocco because I said last year that I don't even think that a lot of these decisions are his.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why
Yeah, I don't think anybody called down from upstairs, though, and said, let Julian have an at-bat.
I agree with that. What's really maddening, Pat, is openers aren't new. Like, this is not oh, my God, what are they doing? This guy's only pitched an inning. What should we do? Like, you've been facing openers for how long now? 4 years?
Well, they're crafty. That's why Pete goes like this. You know, we're spying on them out in the bullpen three hours before the game. So we have this inside info that Manaea is not going to pitch, except he does. We have this inside info. We're spying on everybody.
And by the way, so DraftKings put out, DraftKings had Manaea as the likely innings eater for the night for the Giants, apparently. So apparently whoever DraftKings spies are, maybe the Twins should poach those guys to work for the front office. I don't know.
You know, they were in such a panic in the first inning, though. Were you guys watching the first inning last night when Ober gave up those runs? Mm. Pete forgot to cover his mouth when he first got out there. He talked to him for like 8 seconds before he went, oh, my God, they might be telling me these secrets. They might be learning that I just told them to throw strikes. You know, we got to cover our mouth. Whispering Pete, that's what I call him now. That's my nickname. Whispering Pete. I can't wait to get down to there and write a column belittling the hell out of that cover in the mouth. I think, oh, God, drives me crazy.
We may have jinxed Bailey Ober on the show yesterday. We did our State of the Twins episode, and we led the show with, hey, Bailey Ober. Well, he did battle his tail off a little bit last time.
He did battle his tail off. But
Bailey Ober is the first homegrown, drafted, or international, young free agent signing, viable starting pitcher produced in 7 years.
Is that true? Is that true? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, well, he was awful the first inning, and he admitted. I saw he had a great quote. He says, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't walk those first two guys. Oh, okay, thank you. But but he did, he did come back. But I don't think they got another hit off him, right? Or did they get one more hit? They only had five hits. Unfortunately, the Twins only had four, but shock of the day, though, Buxton in the lineup, wasn't it? I don't think any of us thought we'd see Buxton in the lineup last night. Here, I got it. This is what's driving me crazy. They started the season with using the same batting order like three times, right? It was now we got Gallo leading off, and then he's hitting seventh. Let's have a batting order. Let's have Julian lead off. Because he gets on base all the time, right? Now you might set him back, and then when Polanco comes back, fine. But have him lead off. I guess I don't know about Correa. Maybe he's got to hit Polanco. I don't know who hits second. But let's have a batting. Buxton hits third. Buxton hits third, so maybe Correa has to hit second, even though he took one right down the middle of the plate for strike three again yesterday. But let's have a batting order, you morons. You just move everybody all around.
This is where I used to make fun of Gardy for being very fixated on the batting order. Much so that when Joe Mauer's out, we don't move better hitters up. We just put Mike Redmond third and the other eight guys stay in there. Delmon Young had like 100 RBIs in the seventh spot 1 year.
Yes.
Before the month of September. And Gardy was like, nope, this is our batting order. This is the way that we do it.
By the way, do you see how many RBIs Buxton has? 12.
Yeah.
He's got 8 homers and 12 RBIs. What the heck? Come on.
Almost impossible.
It's this is just a bad lineup. I added it up myself, so this could be wrong. But in 48 games, they've had 16 games. They've had two runs or less. That's 33% of the time, two runs or less. 0, 1, or 2 twice. Yeah,
they have some outbursts that kind of help them. Yeah, they're 11th in runs scored per game. Yep. It's, they've had a couple big double digit outbursts. And
yeah. Same thing with was it Kansas City? Where didn't they have like the run differential wasn't Cubs. Nearly what it should be, or the Cubs? The Cubs it wasn't because they had an 11-1 record in 5 run games. You know, that's why they had it. But the rest of the time, they lose all the close games. So who's going to chase them? That's somebody's got to chase them. And
are the Tigers in second place?
Right yes, now? Right. But the Whiteys have won 3 or 4 in a row. So the Whiteys, you know, they're 10 games under 500, which is makes you a contender in this division. By the way, Tampa's back. I want to congratulate the Tampa fans. Toronto was there last night. They're 35-14. Under 9,000. They had eight, 85. They're back. They're back. They came over and watched the Yankees and they had 32,000 or something, but they're back now.
Tarps back up.
Yeah. Oh God. Yes.
Just put those tarps all over the upper deck.
Yeah. Right. They're going to put them on the first deck. 8,500 to watch that team. And they won again last night.
So isn't there a group? 14. Isn't there a group about to buy? What's the situation there? They might be rescued by someone, right?
I haven't seen that, but you know that the Sternberg and the same outfit as the has owned him forever. I think the guy over in the hockey guy would they wouldn't mind having a ballpark down there next to that city he's building with the hockey arena and stuff. Although I don't think there's enough land down there to build a ballpark. But
so the latest, yeah, this is from 2 days ago. I love The Athletic does this. This is great. This story is from, it's by Ken Rosenthal and Chandler Rome.
Okay.
So I'm assuming Chandler, no disrespect, is the Rays writer for The Athletic, but the Athletic will do that where it's Ken Rosenthal reporting with, mm-hmm. and then they'll just put like the local guy in the byline. At a time when the Rays appear closer than ever to completing their 15-year quest for a new ballpark, their options are only multiplying. At least one local businessman is trying to buy the franchise, according to sources.
Do we name him or not?
The local buyer is Dan Doyle Jr., CEO of Dex Imaging, DEX Imaging, Tampa-based company that professes to be the nation's largest independent provider of office technology with a local touch.
Ooh, you got to have that local touch.
But they're looking to build a $1.2 billion ballpark in St. Petersburg or Tampa. So,
mm-hmm.
so it's
wow.
Tampa.
So we might get someone might save the Rays, and then someone is going to say, well, the A's are going to move to Vegas. So,
And then you're going to have, here's the deal though. Then you're going to screw up. You get new owners, right? And then they're going to be a guy pays $1 million. He thinks he's got $1 billion. Thinks he's got it figured out, right? He'll start interfering with this whole operation they have that allows them to win with a $60 million payroll. He'll screw it all up and they'll be terrible again when they get into their new ballpark. That's my prediction. Unless they keep this same collection of people, you know, they got to get somewhere over on the side of town that, you know, you can get there from I-4. That's what they need, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know.
They'll draw fans though, Pat. So they'll suck, but at least for like mm-hmm. 2 years, they'll draw fans. Yes.
Yeah, well, what makes them great is that they're in a terrible ballpark and nobody goes to the games and somehow they keep winning. I don't figure it out. It's extremely strange to say the least. Hey, how about the NBA playoffs, fellas? We're gonna if tonight the Miami finishes off the we don't give a damn anymore Celtics, there'll be 9 days before they play.
Thursday, June 1st. They do not change the date because of sweeps.
They don't play. They won't play till June 1st. Is that sweeps thing still a thing? Is it still a thing? Is that why they do it? I know it used to be the sweeps, but they didn't.
Oh, no, no. I'm saying we're going to get a sweep.
Oh, because of sweeps, not TV sweeps.
Not May sweeps.
TV sweeps. There might be May sweeps, too. I don't know.
Might be May sweeps, but you know, they're not like they used to be, you know, where they, you know, we gotta hold that two share, damn it. you know, everybody's
Marcus Smart, apparently, I just saw this sort of secondhand via, you know, some quote graphic on social media, but apparently Marcus Smart, as they were getting throttled again by Jimmy Butler and a bunch of undrafted guys, he said, "We beat y'all last year, so quit tripping." We're good. We beat you last year, so why don't you guys calm down? How do you think on the Western Conference side, Pat, Tim Connelly, on one hand, built the Denver Nuggets, and they're about to win a championship. On the other hand, he left the Denver Nuggets, and now here he is watching this play out. If you're would the amount of money that he's making from the Timberwolves cover up the regret that you feel leaving the Nuggets
not being
for the
there? Yeah, it's no, it probably doesn't, especially when you could go to Washington now after winning the championship. He could have gotten that job. Yeah. I got to say, the Joker has got to be the Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. He's unbelievable. God, is he good. He was, because he can, you know, the game's tied and they're covering everybody and he throws in some three that just go, whoosh, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
How did he flip?
He flips it over his hand and go, whop. You know, he is unbelievable. What is it? He beat Wilt's record for triple doubles. Eight of them are winning the playoffs.
Yeah, he's averaging a triple double.
Well, his assists are, he's a 7 foot point guard. It's unbelievable. He's the greatest passer that ever lived.
And he renders a guy like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis looks like a high school kid. Mm-hmm. Just like he can't figure out how to get his shot. I mean, it's kind of amazing what in Karl Anthony Towns you put these skilled big men around Jokic and they get smoked every single time.
LeBron had more points in this postseason than he's ever had. Did you read that? He had more points than he's ever had in a postseason. And
that's got to be up to like a certain point, though.
Up to a certain point, yeah. And you know, but did you see the end of it? I was shocked that he wasn't whining about getting fouled on the last play.
Yeah, he just kind of
left the court. He left the court. He did not whine about it.
You know why he didn't whine about it? He in the first half, he scored 31 points. He played every single minute of that game last night. And he and they had a double-digit lead, and he came to the realization, I'll bet, after – and it wasn't a foul, by the way. It was a really good defensive play.
Yeah.
Came to the realization that, boy – I could whine about this, but if we have to do this, okay, so then we go to overtime and then do it again, and then we have to do it again three more times.
Yeah,
screw this.
We got to go to Denver and get beat by 20. We don't bother. So, but it's you just watch Jokic and you say, this cannot be a 7 foot man. That's huge. He's just amazing. And, you know, I had no trouble with Embiid winning the MVP until I watched Jokic a lot in the playoffs and said, you know, there's no comparison. I mean, Embiid is very good, great, but this guy's a different planet. He's fantastic.
Yeah. Second round pick too, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And I believe I saw this morning the pick before him, Glenn Robinson III to the Timberwolves.
Okay. You mean we might have had a chance to take the next guy?
Bloodline. They're scouting the bloodlines.
Yep.
I did a thing about, you know, before Anthony, maybe 5 years ago, how, except when they had the first draft choice, they always took the wrong guy. but it did. The rule was it had to be within two picks of the guy they took, in other words. You couldn't just pick out some guy who was a great player that they didn't take him. It had to be a guy right there. So it was, you know, like flip trading to get Shabazz and the other guy when he could have had C.J. McCollum, you know, with the ninth pick.
Jamal Murray is one.
Well, Tibbs, that's – forget everything else he did. Forget the Butler trade, not taking Jamal Murray instead of Chris Dunn because – I think it's now in. The verdict's now in. Jamal Murray's better than Chris Dunn. I think we've determined. I think he was playing in China the other day, last year for a while.
Chris maybe Dunn. He'll be teammates with D'Lo in China next D'Lo. Year. It'll be great.
Well, maybe he'll get a statue. Steph's Robert. Got a statue,
Steph's
right?
Got a statue, yes. Yep.
He does.
Yeah.
Steph did very well. Yep.
So. God, I miss. God, that guy was great. He was so screwy. He was just the weirdest guy ever, Steph. Yeah, Steph, we're paying you the maximum we can pay you. We can't pay you any more. It's against the rules for us to pay you any more. I don't care. I want as much as Kevin's getting. We can't do it. It's the NBA won't allow it. That's okay. I want to be traded if you don't pay me as much as him. They could not get through that thick cranium of his, and he, you know, he was okay for a couple of years after he got out of here, but then he was just went in the tank early. So he was fun though.
Well, Pat, speaking of thick craniums, we got to send Judd out to OTAs here, so we do have to say goodbye.
Yep.
But
our OTAs have started today. Today is the first day. How long they last?
No, today is our first day of access. There's 9 of them through early June.
Okay.
Yesterday was the first one.
Do we have mini camp then, or we already do that?
Oh, no. 2 days of, I think, June 12th and 13th.
Okay. All right. Mini well, you have a good time out there. I'm rooting for you. That's good.
I'll text you the highlights. Bye.
Okay, good. Right. Goodbye.
All right. Royce and Shane presented by the Power Lodge and Miller Marine. Pick your power. Head to the lodge, the Power Lodge. So now through Saturday, May 27th, you can find the boater pontoon that's just right for you in your next Remember When family moment. It's the Power Lodge and Miller Marine Memorial Day weekend sale. So stop in Saturday, pick out your pontoon, hook it up, drive it home for the weekend and finish out Memorial Day weekend on the water. Powerlodge.com, MillerMarine.com. All right, we got to go.